So, Romans 6, starting at verse 1. What shall we say then? Shall we go on sinning, so that grace may increase? By no means. We died to sin. How can we live in it any longer? Or don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live. If we have been united with him like this in his death, we will certainly also be united with him in his resurrection. For we know that our old self was crucified with him, so that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin, because anyone who has died has been freed from sin. I just want to follow on from what Pastor Johnny was speaking on last week when he spoke on Joshua and about how one person's sin affected the whole of Israel. Here we've got Paul writing to the Romans that he's telling us we're no longer a slave to sin. He likens it to baptism. And if I've got this right, I believe there's two at least getting baptized later this year. And just a plug for that, if anyone who hasn't been baptized and wants to get baptized, have a chat with Pastor, and I'm sure he'll be able to fit you in with the two that are already down for it. But baptism, we've had a few here over the last couple of years, and it's been a pleasure to be a part of those. And part of being baptized, you go down, you go under the water. You're symbolizing that death to the old life. As you go under that water, you're buried with Christ. When you're brought back up, you're coming up with that new life. I'm not saying you didn't get that new life at your conversion. It's an outward symbolism for that. But when we look in John 3, verses 3 to 7, he tells us that we've got to be born again. To be born again, we have to die to our old self. That is the death. And because of that death and the resurrection, we're now free from that sin. So as Pastor said last week, one person sins, it affects the whole church. Throughout Scripture, we see that we need to be on the same path that Jesus is on. In Mark 1 verse 3 and in Luke 3 verses 4 to 5, we've got prepare the way for the Lord, make straight paths for him. And then it goes on to say that mountains are brought low, valleys are filled, rough paths are smoothed, so that the path for Jesus was a straight, smooth path. We're called to follow Jesus' path. The path for us to follow is a straight line. It's a smooth, straight line. The mountains have been lowered. The valleys have been filled. And as we do that, we've already been set free from the sin. So that path we should be able to stay on. And I know we've done communion this week, and when Pastor spoke about communion last week, about sinning, it's against the body and it affects the body. We are the body. So what we do in the week affects us as the body. And as Ian has reiterated this morning, we examine ourselves before communion. We put it right. So if we look, I've got a few scriptures here. Isaiah 59, verse 8. I need to get some reading glasses. The way of peace they do not know. There is no justice in their paths. They have turned them into crooked roads. No one who walks in them will know peace. If you want peace, You need to be on that straight road, not the crooked road. If we look at Proverbs 2, verses 12 to 15. Wisdom will save you from the ways of the wicked men, from men whose words are perverse, who leave the straight paths to walk in dark ways, who delight in doing wrong and rejoice in the perverseness of evil, whose paths are crooked and who are devious in their ways. We don't want to be on those crooked paths. That's quite a vivid description of where you'll be if you're on them crooked paths. Quite often in life, we like to take shortcuts. I've just described to you what the path of Jesus looks like. It's a straight line. How many people know of a shortcut on a straight line? There isn't one, is there? If you want to take a shortcut, you're making it crooked. There is no shortcut to walk in that line. So we need to concentrate. This is the where we need to be. Everything in here helps us keep on those straight lines. I'll stop covering the microphone. So no shortcuts. Sometimes we, and I've been guilty of it, I let God do the work. And sometimes God says, no, I want you to stand up and do the work because I've given you the ability to go do it. I've learned so much in the last 2 years that I've been here compared to the 20-odd that I've been a Christian. There's so much that has been revealed to me because I'm getting into this and I'm learning and I'm learning and I'm learning. Sin leads to destruction. If we look at Matthew 7, verse 13. Enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. But small is the gate and narrow the road that leads to life, and only a few find it. Now, I've talked about this road. Most people think of these nice, big, wide roads. Well, I'm sorry to disappoint you. God's road is quite narrow. And that narrow road will get us through that gate. If we deviate, as it says in Matthew, destruction. And again, Galatians 6, verses 8 and 9. The one who sows to please his sinful nature, from that nature will reap destruction. For the one who sows to please the Spirit, from the Spirit will reap eternal life. Now for me, that is such a powerful description of, it's black and white. Sin, you reap destruction. In the Spirit, we've got eternal life. Now, I'm going to use a few examples of when I was in the fire service. I became a Christian 24 years ago. I know it's the 24th anniversary of my baptism in April. So it was around this time in a house group. Johnny and Joe were there. Pastor Don Tillett was there. And that night I gave my life to Christ. Immediately, and it weren't a conscious thing, I stopped swearing. Now, I can think of maybe two occasions in 24 years where I've actually sworn. And looking back at those instances, I can see what led me to that point. But because of God's grace, I have no condemnation because I messed up. We're all going to mess up. It's about we're free from being slaves to sin. Doesn't mean we'll stop sinning, but we have the power in Christ to stop. So for my life in the fire service, around that time I was working at Batley Fire Station. I got quite a good reputation for being honest, trustworthy, truthful. In the fire service at that time, it was very competitive. We played a lot of volleyball for our fitness training. And if there was a dodgy call, they'd come to me because they wanted my opinion, because they knew I wouldn't lie. And as that progressed, as my career changed, I ended up at Cleckheaton Fire Station. And I'd worked within a team on that station, and then that team merged with the station. And I ended up working with a different bunch of guys. I got a temporary promotion onto Red Watch. Now, I'd worked with one of the guys on Red Watch, and he forewarned everybody on the shift, Andy doesn't swear. So when I got onto that shift, the guy in charge says, you're here for 6 months. I guarantee I will get you to swear before that 6 months is up. So I'm in that place where, sort of describe the fire service, it's still very much a male-orientated job. The way of life in that job, there's only the Christian firemen that I know that don't swear. Everybody else swears. And most of them cannot put a sentence together without at least one swear word in that sentence. And you've got to live with that. Where we are in our walk in life, we are witnessing to people that we work with. We are witnessing to people that we, that our families, we're witnessing to each other. And we have to be different. We have to be that light in that situation. So no matter what's thrown at us, we look at Christ for our strength. We can do all things through him. And we look at that. And I did 6 months on that shift and I never swore. No matter what they did or tried, I don't think they really did try to get me to swear. They just carried on as they were. And they just expected me to join in with their conversation the way they wanted it. So in that respect, I was able to shine the light of Christ in that. And even up to the point of my retirement, I had a retirement due in a local pub, and I was probably the only one there that was sober. But we put things in place so that we don't go down the lines of being drawn into what people around us are doing. We have to be that. So for me, to put in place so that I don't drink when I go out, I'll say, I'm driving. Anybody want a lift? I've got room in my van for six. And do it that way. So that's how I socialise. If I want to go out and socialise with friends or want to go to the pub, I'll drive. And I'll do it that way. So, bringing it round to the crux. So, again, fire service. Part of the specialist team, we had specialist roles. And I had three or four specialisms within that team. And one of my specialists was timber shoring. So we were trained as a team that if there was a major disaster, building collapse, we were trained to make it safe to enter in to look for people and rescue people. So what you've got to bear in mind is you've got to start right at the beginning with this training. And it's same with how we are in church. So the first thing I learned was to look at the wood that I was going to use. So bear in mind, timber shore, I'm going to make these shores out of timber. So when you look at a piece of wood that you're going to use, you want that piece of wood to be straight. So the path that we're going down, it's got to be straight. You're looking for knots in it. If there's loads of knots in it, it's no good. Those knots are weak points in that wood. So those are the areas that we have to filter out of our life so there's not so many knots in that path. There's always going to be some. You can't get around it. There's always going to be some. But that wood is a stronger piece of wood if there's less knots in it. And I don't know if you know, if you ever chopped a piece of wood, you see the lines in it? Those are the growth years. So again, we look at those and we look at how close those lines are together. If they're far apart, that piece of wood's grown too quickly and it's not strong. If those lines are close together, the tree's grown slowly and matured slowly and has gained the strength. So it's not rushed down that path. It's done it nice and steady, nice and steady. So, sizes of timber. We worked in 4x4, so I'm going in old money. 4x4, 4x2, 6x2, and we use plywood. And obviously, we use nails. So, one piece of 4x4, vertical, we would use it to be at a hole 2.5 ton. So, what we would do, getting initially, we would put up, and this is where we've got classes of shores, class one, class two, and class three. We would put a class one shore in. So you have a piece of 4x4, at the top you have a piece of 4x4, and at the bottom you have a piece of 4x4, and they're fastened together with plywood. So that in itself will hold 2.5 ton because it's straight down, but it's not very stable that way, and it's not very stable that way. That's your class one shore. So the next bit we put in is a class two. So now you have two upright, and you have a piece that goes across both of them, and a piece that goes across both of them. So now it's, initially it still goes that way and still goes that way, but what you then do, because you've got two uprights, you put a cross. So it takes away that movement. The next stage is we build another class two at the side of it, and then what we call lace it together. So you've then made a square, which will hold, because each post will hold 2.5 ton, that will hold 10 ton. Now, in saving lives, we have a factor that we put into building those shores, which is 10 to 1. So actually, that shore that will hold 10 ton will actually hold 100. We put a 10 to 1 factor and reduce it down to make sure that we're within. Now, you're all wondering where I'm going with this. Phil announced and Joe's announced it. Next week, we're going into purpose-driven church. So my message is that each item of timber has its own purpose. And the timber needs to be straight. The nails that you put in need to be straight. And everything has to be put in and fit together. So it's like a carpenter coming in, putting it together. Oh, we've got a carpenter, haven't we? It's called Jesus. So we've got, next week, we're starting purpose-driven life. We're going to learn about the purpose for this church. But within this church, we are individuals that have got that individual purpose. And to be able to fulfill that individual purpose that we've all got, we need to either be that straight piece of wood. We need to be that straight nail. If you've ever tried putting a nail in that's bent with a hammer, it won't go. And we will learn the easiest ways of fitting together as well. We were doing this in a dangerous situation. So actually putting a nail in with a hammer was quite dangerous because you're hitting and hitting because you can't put a nail in with one hit. And I know Phil's got one. You've got a Dewalt nail gun, haven't you? Yeah, we use a nail gun. So that when you come to put the shore in, you can fasten. Most of it can be fastened outside. But when you bring it in and use a nail gun, you can quickly do it without much shock. Because a nail gun makes a lot of noise, but the shock of it is nowhere near as much as whacking it with a hammer. And I know Phil and Malcolm this week have been building wooden frames in the garage for storage. That's what we need to be. I look at it, this is Sobey Bridge. We need to make a difference in Sobey Bridge. Sobey Bridge is collapsing. It's falling into the fallen world. We need to be that strong shore to shore up Sobey Bridge so that we can get in there and save the people that need saving. And as one shore's built, we then go and build another. And I know Pastor Johnny wants to plant churches. So we've got the groundwork there. And as we come together as a church, and as we grow, we're going to be able to reach out further and further. Even if it's not church planting in the first place, as we grow, we live all over Sobey Bridge and Halifax. We've got those outreaching areas. And as we grow in those areas and we witness to those who are around us, and we're doing what the word tells us to do, we can't fail. So I just want to encourage everybody that when we finish, the house groups will go up. Get yourself in a house group this week. Get yourself a book and let's work together. Let's be together. Let's be that one shore where every little piece fits together. And it doesn't matter if you think the role that you've got is insignificant. That one nail is important. And that one nail needs to be in its right place. In the whole shoring thing, the nails have to be put in a certain pattern. Scientists have developed and studied how to put nails into a piece of wood for the maximum strength. So we have what we call 5-nail patterns, 3-nail patterns, 4-nail patterns, and it depended on what size of wood it was going in and what that piece of wood was doing. So in a 3-nail pattern, you've got the 3 nails in a triangle. The nail at the point needs to be nearest the end of the piece of wood. There's less chance of it splitting that wood because there's only one nail. So you bring the other two further down. So it's just fitting everything in its right place. So being on this course and chatting together and everybody doing the same thing, we're all going to learn where our place is and how we're going to fit in to what the church is going to do. So can I just encourage you all? I know it's not been an extremely long sermon this morning. I'm probably 10 minutes short. But just can I encourage you? This week, have a look at the house group leaders. Come and talk to those that are here. If you can't get to those who are here, I'm sure we can pass phone numbers on for those who need to go to other groups. And everybody's welcome. That's the whole thing. It's a welcoming. Let us learn together and grow together. And let's shore up this town and save it.